back to the Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5. So come on the program about an hour from now. The Republican nominee for AL1, Jerry Carl, will make an appearance on the show. So stick around for that. Joining us now, he's our show's returning champion. We have him on Fridays, a little early today, but that's fine. State Senator Chris Elliott is with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm great. Great. Glad to be back in South Alabama after a couple of days in Montgomery yet again.
Yeah, well, that seems to be where a lot of the buzz has the Sunset Committee and your buddy Keith Warren and the occupational licensing regime we live under in Alabama. Does this ever go away?
I think it does. I really do. I'm seeing, the voices kind of start saying the same thing. It's not just me on an island now. It's others joining in and really seeing what I've been talking about for the last couple of years here, and that is this swamp, like Coach likes to call it, that exists in Montgomery too, and it's insidious. It's been like this for far too long. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight, but if you're going to root out waste, fraud, and abuse, you're going to have to look under every rock, and you're going to have to really dig. And when you do that, it's going to make people uncomfortable because you're going to be upsetting the status quo that has gone on in Montgomery for entirely too long. And this is one of the the best examples of it. It needs to be fixed. We're going to fix it, and I think when Coach gets there, we'll have a governor who, instead of signing these interagency agreements, instead of signing, and giving permission to hire, somebody like Keith Warren as a state employee that then pulls, schemes like this out of their back pocket, you'll have a governor that says, no, we're not doing that, and we'll stop it instead of encouraging it.
Right. And so Todd Stacey and I were talking about it earlier on the show. Yes, it's insidious. It's just seems, corrupt or whatever the way that Warren operates, but really where I think it really matters more. It's just that, we put such a premium on workforce, on employment, on labor participation in the state and getting those numbers right. And this is a barrier to entry to the workforce. And you
That's
have
exactly
to,
right.
Yeah, and you have to jump through all these hurdles. And you have to, and it's just that these people who are just trying to make a living get nickel and dimed along the way and you don't really understand, what is the utility here? What is the merit of doing it this way?
As a small business person myself, I recognize just how hard it is to start a small business and just get going. I mean, you have cash flow problems initially. You have all this upfront cost and outlay. You have to do all of these things that the government requires you to do on top of just the difficulty that exists. And so if you really want our economy to grow, we need to get government out of the way and let small business, let free enterprise, and capitalism work. Some of these boards, you don't even need them. It's ridiculous. Look at this, this security guard board that we're talking about here yesterday. All they do is a background check, and heck, Aaliyah does the background check. What else are they doing? Nothing. And so you just have to start wondering, is this thing even necessary? Should it even be here? And that's a real principled approach because most people aren't directly affected by these boards individually. Collectively, you're affected all over the place by every business you engage with and interact with. They all have to have these little licenses. They all have to pay, the government is due to be able to just hang a shingle out there and operate. And we need to look about whether or not that is necessary because it's a drag on the economy.
Well, how does this end? How do you get, I mean, because my brief experience, probably the last maybe 8-9 years hanging out at the State House, this is one of the more, geared up for this fight. They have the lobbyists, they have the government affairs people, that this institutional sort of existence, it's very well entrenched. And that, to me, is what the impediment is here, because every time you or somebody else tries to do something here, I mean, it's just swatted down, over and over again.
I'm one of 35 senators. I'm one of 140 legislators. And while I like tackling big issues and bringing them to the forefront and getting them done, I'm not the governor. And it is going to take a governor like Coach, who is unabashed in his, you know, desire to root out waste, fraud, and abuse, to find efficiencies, to consolidate, because that's what the taxpayers are asking for. And it will take a governor like Coach, who is interested truly in not just steadying the ship, right, but turning over tables and really right-sizing and making government more efficient. And so the answer to your question, where does this end? How does this happen? How are you able to get this done? I'm putting a lot of faith in Coach Tuberville being able to get in there and get this done. They talk about it. I think they're going to not just talk the talk, they're going to walk the walk, and I'm looking forward to watching.
Well, then, let's say you got to do it through the legislature, though. What can Coach do other than, you know, he could give you some cover. He can maybe even try to massage the situation and talk to some of these lawmakers and get them on board. But is that really the key here, that you need somebody out there just sort of using the bully pulpit to talk about this?
That is the key. I mean, look at Governor Ivey. I mean, she and I certainly had our differences, but when she's pushed on the legislature has acted, whether it's, you know, economic development incentives, whether it's, you know, any of those things that were key issues for her, and where she has engaged, she's been relatively successful. I think Coach is going to engage across the board. I think that some of these issues are so rampant and are so obvious that the legislature, when pressure is applied, when a light is shown on these things, like was done yesterday in Sunset Committee, they are going to say, yeah, we need to move. And we have made some progress in occupational licensing reform. We did it last year with three different boards, but it needs to be more wholesale. And I think Coach is going to look at this and a lot of other issues and say, hey, let's get this cleaned up. That's why he's coming back to Alabama to clean up some of this. And I'm excited. Like I said, I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to help.
Well, in Senator Elliott's world, I mean, what does the new structure look like? Because can you bring it back in-house? Is that cost effective? Because that's the argument for the way it is now. Well, it's just cheaper for us to sub these duties and responsibilities out to a third party because they can do it far, far cheaper than we can as the government. But that seems to be where this whole cottage industry has sprung up and where you're seeing some of these indiscretions take place.
Well, that's it. Is A, it's not being done well. B, it's a profit center. And so these folks are looking at this and saying, oh, private entities can do it more efficiently, which typically in a free market economy, right, is better. But in this instance, what you see are these third-party vendors getting greedy, and they get greedy because there's no oversight. And so what was a $100,000 a year contract to manage, you know, the board of, you know, whatever, turns into a $450,000 contract. And you start seeing these individuals making millions and millions and millions of dollars with a very clear profit motive. And it's almost done under the radar. And so what I see as the solution is some consolidation of some of these boards. Why do we have, you know, plumbers and HVAC and electricians and on-site wastewater disposal and contractors and home builders? You know, why do you have all of these different siloed entities which are inherently inefficient because they are separate? Why do you have that? Can you consolidate? And it may be some of those or none of those. But those are examples of things we need to look at as from a consolidation standpoint. And then the administration of those licenses or occupations and their licensees is important as well. One, do we need them? Should you have an occupational license to do whatever it is, to be an auctioneer, right? Is that necessary? Should you have a license to be a wrestler? Is that something the state should be in the business of licensing and regulating? And so you can have some consolidation there. And then again, the administrative functions, why do we have all of these different boards that have their own separate conference rooms, their own separate coffee pots? You know, does anybody need all of that? Or does that just exist to feed the swamp, to feed the administrators of these things? Is that just to give them some purpose and an income. And I think that's exactly what's happening.
Well, then who's going to be the one who kind of makes these calls? Do you go to industry leaders and say, can we bring this all under one umbrella? You know, because some of this, it can be very difficult, like a one-size-fits-all solution deemed by the Alabama legislature. I mean, that seems very challenging. But in under your idea here, like how do you determine if it's HVAC, plumbers, home builders, et cetera? Where do you break this up? How do you separate this out? What's the best way to ensure that the public doesn't get scammed by people who aren't qualified to perform some of these duties?
Well, that's the great thing about this, you know, federalism and democracy, right? States are the laboratories of government. We're not the first ones to grapple with occupational licensing issues, right? And we're certainly not the first ones to grapple with how to consolidate and how to, you know, wring efficiency out of them. So you go look at what the other 49 states are doing and you find a method that works for you and is palatable and is working. You learn from what's going well and you learn from what's not going well. And then you try it and incorporate it. But listen, the fear of something maybe going wrong should not be why you don't change something. That's unacceptable to me. We should not sit here and what Roosevelt said, dwell in the gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat, because we just refuse to move and refuse to try anything. Listen, that's exactly what they want. That's what all of these lobbyists and all of these entities that are sucking off the government tit want. They want us to be scared to try efficient. They want us to be scared to try consolidation because they're perfectly happy raking in the millions that they're raking in right now at the expense of the taxpayer. They're perfectly happy with inaction. Montgomery thrives on it.
And, you know, I don't know if you've looked at it. I mean, no system's obviously the best system or perfect system, let's say that. But is there a state that does this well?
There are states that do this very well, and there are states that have tried and have made mistakes with it. I will tell you, Alabama is one of the worst because it's so siloed that it has, you have your own marketing contracts, you have your own technology contracts, you have your own, and it doesn't make any sense. You go to Florida, I have a Florida construction license as well, contractor's license as well, right? You go to one website, you have a drop-down menu to say, hey, I'm a barber, I'm a nail salon owner, I'm a tattooist, I'm a contractor. Because at the end of the day, the license is just the license. It's a renewal. It's not complicated. And it's the same thing. You don't need these types of siloed things. And so I hope that there's a push by Coach to consolidate, because this is one of those things. It's almost a fourth branch of government out there. When we look at 24 cabinet secretaries that are sitting out there right now, this doesn't even show up. All of these are little separate agencies, state agencies floating around, independent state agencies with very little oversight, except for every 4 years when they come before the Sunset Committee.
Well, when you do licensing, though, I mean, is there something to get qualified to prove to you the state that you're qualified to do this? Like, if I wanted to go be a barber, I've never cut hair in my life. What do I need to do? Or do I need to show something that I have the training? Do I have the expertise?
Yes.
I mean, how do you get that satisfied?
You know, those occupational licensing requirements exist in statute right now. What we're talking about is how to administer those occupational licensing requirements. And that's where you save the money. That's where you take the burden off of the guy that's just trying to be a barber, right? He's got his slip. He's got he's been to school. He's got his thing. We'll submit that. When you submit your $25 for your license, you're approved. Move on. Get on with your life, right?
Gotcha.
But that's how you handle that from an administrative standpoint. What we don't need is a barber and cosmetology board right now that has a budget that is in the millions of dollars and has huge state salaries and take home vehicles and all these other things. You look at it and go, how in the world did we get here?
How did we get here? You know, and I don't know the history. I just know that, like, almost as long as I've been kind of paying attention to the racket of Alabama state government, this has been like a big thing, and it comes and goes, but like, it just seems like this system sort of like, I don't know, fed off itself, self-perpetuated itself. And now, you know, like I was telling you earlier in the segment, they are like very well government affairs stuff. They got lobbyists. They talk about this. You know, well, there could be talking about gambling or something going on, and that could be the big issue of the day in the media. They are talking about this and how they're going to stop or slow down these bills.
Democrats were in charge of this state for 136 years, and they like big government, and they invented the swamp and like being, you know, handing out little, hey, we'll create a little job over here for our friends, and so they can, you know, little Jimmy's son can have a job and grow his little kingdom of occupational licensing customers, and nobody will care because it'll only be an extra $50 or an extra $150 or an extra $250 that we add onto this license that all of these thousands of businesses pay, and it'll be okay. Well, that's how we got here over time. It was one of those things that nobody really paid attention to, because government getting bigger when the Democrats were in control were okay. They're not free market people, right? They're not capitalists. And they're more into protecting their buddies and their friends. And yes, we still have that going on today. And so that's where the obstacles have been in the past. We just need to get beyond that. And I'm hopeful that with some real leadership in the governor's office, we can get there.
Senator, we'll leave it there. You're always very kind to make time for this program. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks so much for having me. Enjoy this beautiful weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Across the western sky, roping old blue northern, and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, fence ears down flat, long before you take this cowboy's hat. Now if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I get